A legendary Madison area cookie was thought to be lost to time, but the original recipe is making a comeback for a cause.
In the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, baker Ted O'Dell sold his hearty gorilla cookies. That's not like gorilla the animal, it's G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A. For some, they served as a symbol of the anti-war counterculture of the time.
The recipe was thought to be lost, but it turns out O'Dell gifted the recipe in some land near Broadhead to the Southern Wisconsin Land Conservancy. The cookies come back to help raise money for conservation efforts.
Steve Applebaum is board president for the Southern Wisconsin Land Conservancy. Steve, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
My pleasure, Rob.
All right, let's start with these legendary cookies. Some people remember them very well. I came to Wisconsin just a bit too late. I've never eaten one. What's the deal with gorilla cookies?
Well, I sampled one in the 70s when I was at the University of Illinois. A girlfriend of mine introduced me to the cookies, but I don't have a sweet tooth, so I never paid much attention to them. But they're really wholesome, heavy, full of what was called whole meal, so whole wheat flour, and a whole variety of other ingredients that most people don't necessarily think of as ingredients in cookies. So when it comes together in cookie form, it's actually a pretty darn good cookie. And I'm not a cookie monster or cookie eater, so. It impressed me so much when Ted O'Dell shared the history with me that I thought, wow, we should learn about that cookie because they were first developed here or cooked here in a wood stove on this property at the Three Waters Reserve in Broadhead, Wisconsin, where I'm now sitting and talking with you from.
And I didn't encounter the cookie, but I encountered the legend. I worked at a grocery store that had sold the cookies back in the day. And literally for years afterward, people would come in, often from out of town, and say, hey, can you still get gorilla cookies? With that in mind, Steve, as you started talking about, hey, we have the recipe and we're going to use these as a fundraiser, were you hearing from those people, the people who were jonesing for these cookies they haven't eaten in 3-4 decades?
I've been impressed with the taste bud memory, and it might also be college year memory. Many of us have fond memories of our college years. Whatever it was, it certainly had a significant impact on a lot of people. And I would say probably 30, 40 people have driven a trip from Madison or from some other place in Northern Illinois. Some people have just showed up here at the reserve from Chicago and said, we'd like to buy some cookies. So there is a following, there is an interest, and a good bit of it might be sentimental value, but I'm based on the way people eat these things kind of ravenously, there's also a taste memory.
Well, and what I always remember was people would have stories of eating them before classes or at protests and rallies. I remember somebody saying they went really well with tear gas. Do you get a lot of that, like stories, that individual memory story from people as they talk about them?
There have been a couple of stories. And of course, I was of age during the Vietnam War protests and watched and participated in a variety of different types of protests. So I never heard the tear goes good with tear gas. I've never heard that before.
I'm not making that up. I remember a woman saying that to me.
That's great. Yeah, but the story, most of the stories have been focused on, oh, I knew Ted O'Dell, and what a character, what a hermit, and various other adjectives that were very positively presented because they loved his cookie, and that far outshined any disparaging remarks they might have made about an introvert who was a hermit.
So Ted O'Dell, you've mentioned him. He's the creator of the Gorilla Cookie. Connect the dots now to the Southern Wisconsin Land Conservancy and the Three Waters Reserve. How did Ted get connected with that? As you said, he was there from the outset in a lot of ways.
Sometime in the mid-1920s, his grandfather was approached by a group of business people and other enthusiasts about putting a golf course in right on the north side of Broadhead, Wisconsin, which is about 45 minutes straight south of Madison. His grandfather conceded and sold about 60 acres of the land for the golf course. And Ted, of course, was young at that time, very young, if not an embryo. I'd have to do the math. But he and his sister were bequested acreage abutting the golf course. And he wanted to figure out a way to get that golf course, hit the delete button on the golf course, and bring back the beautiful landscape that he remembered as a child. The golf course became available for sale in 2017. I took that as a signal to invite Ted into the conversation. And I called him while we were all having breakfast and explained that we were thinking about buying it. And he said, I'm in. Tell me how much money you need. I'm in. And we made an offer, and over the course of a couple of back and forths with the seller, we owned a golf course. And Ted was absolutely in. He was so inspired. He was his whole life really trying to figure out how to bring his family legacy and his fond memories of this magnificent piece of land that was the Decatur Lake Golf Course, to bring it back under conservation, and protect it, and restore it to the beautiful oak savannas and wetlands and prairie that used to be here and that are now back.
We're talking to Steve Applebaum, president of the board of the Southern Wisconsin Land Conservancy, which is bringing back the legendary Gorilla Cookie. Ted O'Dell passed away, Steve, and most people, I think, thought the Gorilla Cookie recipe was gone with him. People have spent years trying to recreate it, but hang on. Ted had, in addition to helping make the conservancy happen, he donated the recipe in hopes of raising funds for it. Tell us that story.
When we started having strategic planning sessions about how do we fund this, how do we grow this opportunity, how do we reach the tentacles of conservation out broader and farther afield, the idea of resurrecting the Gorilla Cookie was one of the ideas that came up during the conversations. And of course, he was so protective of that cookie, that recipe. He was not openly initially willing or interested in suggesting it become available. But over the course of about a year and a half, he said, you know, this is a dream come true. I never thought the golf course would be restored. I never thought that my life would be fulfilled before I died. He had third stage prostate cancer. He knew he was on his way out. And we had a conversation about, how happy it made us all to see this outcome. And then the idea of the cookie becoming part of the food and beverage offering here in some way hit the table. And we did a press release together that we were going to announce about 2 months before he passed away, announcing the gift of the recipe. And COVID hit, and we just shut everything down and decided to let the dust settle for a year or two.
And I got to say, as a not very good baker, Steve, a recipe is not a cookie. How did you get somebody to not only make that recipe, but to make it right so that it satisfied the people who had this incredible memory of this legendary cookie?
What I did was I took the recipe to a wonderful friend who was part of the prairie enthusiast group here in southern Wisconsin, who happened to be the chief baker at Colony Brands in Monroe, Wisconsin, a very large bakery enterprise. He jumped in head over heels and helped try to interpret the ingredient list. You're so right. The ingredient list doesn't tell you how to put the chemistry together. Mm-hmm. We ended up making cookies that weren't really matching up with what the old timers said the Gorilla Cookie looked like or tasted like. Even though the cookies were fantastic, they weren't what Ted made. So after about a year of working on that, and Ted loved those cookies, he and dozens of others were involved in taste testing, tried a dozen or so iterations and finally hit on it where old timers say, wow, that is it. It looks the same. It's, you know, it's got the shine, it's got the mouthfeel, it's got the taste, it's got the texture. And oh, by the way, chew slowly because there's hard things in the cookie. You got to eat around or be careful when you chew them. So that's the experimental process that we went through. And all I was an observer admiring, you know, the forensics that had to be done.
Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Come down and enjoy the cookie and enjoy the land.
Steve Applebaum is president of the board of the Southern Wisconsin Land Conservancy. He is with us today to share the story of the Gorilla Cookie and its return to support conservation causes here in Wisconsin.
In the program today, we've been hearing reaction to a judge's overturning of Act 10, the law that effectively ended collective bargaining for most public sector workers in Wisconsin.
And we want to hear from you. Did Act 10 change your life, your career? Were you there at the state capitol in 2011? What was it like to protest then? And what do you think will become of our state's economy if public sector workers do end up getting more union representation? Do you see that as a win or a setback?
Share your perspective on this legal battle and whether state employees should be allowed to bargain over things like working conditions and salary. Email Wisconsin Today at WPR.org, or you can call or text us at 888-642-0232.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to WPR News.